الله الله
إيدر
القابض الباسط الخافض الرافع المعز المذل السميع البصير الحكيم.
You're listening to Eidars.com.
The next section is about those things that are disliked whilst fasting, but they do not invalidate the fast. We've talked about those things that invalidate the fast. You see, we're going in order, the most severe, the most extreme, and then the next level, and this is the third level. These things are disliked, we should avoid them whilst fasting, but they do not invalidate the fast, hence they do not require a qada or a kafar, no makeup, no expiation. In other words, they are disliked, and if somebody wants to do them, then their reward for the fast will decrease. Hence, we should try to avoid this. Number one is to taste something or chew something without any excuse. ذَوْقُ شَيْءٍ. Why? Because when you taste something, taste meaning just on the tongue, and that is very important. Tasting something with the tongue and then spitting it back out. Provided nothing goes down the throat, even with the saliva. If something was stuck on the tongue, and then with the saliva it went down the throat, then that means that the fast has been invalidated. This is just mere tasting with the mouth. Okay? Because why? Tasting with chewing. Somebody just chews something and then throws it back out. No taste with the saliva has gone down the throat. If it does, then it breaks the fast, as I've said. So understand this carefully. Why is it disliked? Because you're exposing yourself to invalidating your fast. You're exposing yourself to invalidate the fast. So this is very important. Here the scholars mention that this is normally makruh, but we have certain exceptional cases. Like for example, there's a wife who's got a very selfish, very harsh, ill-mannered husband who's always concerned about food, and he gets angry about salt. So if she fears that her husband will get really angry and blow a fit if he finds some extra salt or less salt, so she is able to taste the food whilst cooking. It's not makruh, it's not even makruh for her. But remember again, if anything goes down the throat, it breaks the fast. Okay, but she can't, it will not be makruh. It will not be disliked for this woman. She fears her husband. Also here, toothpaste. In this number one, using toothpaste is disliked for the same reason you're tasting something. But again, remember, provided what? Nothing goes down the throat with your saliva, no taste. So only in that case, using toothpaste. If you brush your teeth and you thoroughly rinse your mouth, you should avoid it, it's makruh. But you thoroughly rinse it, there's no taste effect of the toothpaste remaining in your mouth, then it will not invalidate the fast. But if you don't, and then you take some, taste down your throat, it's fast, it's invalidated, brothers and sisters. Likewise, the exception about, I said an exception. One exception was the wife who's got that ill-mannered husband. And number two is a genuine reason, like for exception, is when a mother is actually concerned about her child and she chews the food in order to feed the child, just chewing. Again, it's not disliked. It's not makruh. Normally it's makruh, but this is another exception. Number two, what's number two? This is husband-wife relationship. Al-qublatu wal-mubashara. Kissing one's spouse or body-to-body contact, caressing one's spouse. This is makruh when a person is not sure to be a person does not feel sure to avoid ejaculation or sexual intercourse. If somebody is content, they are absolutely sure. If a man is, for example, completely sure and positive, and he does not have any fear of getting involved in sexual relations, then kissing and caressing and hugging his spouse, everything is permissible. But if there's a slight fear, then it's makruh. Remember, if there's slight fear, then it's makruh. You have to avoid kissing, you have to avoid everything. And whilst doing that, if you ejaculate, then what happens? It breaks the fast. No kafara. And if you actually do sexual intercourse, then it's kafara. Do you understand the levels? For married people. Okay. So, so if somebody doesn't have this fear of getting involved in actual sexual intercourse, or it doesn't fear ejaculating, then it is not makruh, it is not disliked. And there's one point here that this is a normal kissing that the fuqaha mentioned here. وَالْقُبْلَةُ الْفَاحِشَةُ تُكْرَهُ مُطْلَقًا That passionate kissing is always makruh, with or without the fear, with or without the risk of ejaculating or having sexual intercourse. It's always disliked. This, that kissing and caressing is makruh only if you fear, it's just normal, simple, light kissing. If it's passionate kissing, then it's always disliked. There's a hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Sunan Abi Dawud regarding that he used to passionately kiss whilst he was fasting. There's an explanation given. The Hanafi, because some scholars, some of the madhabs, they allow, they say, but the Hanafis have an explanation for this that, you know, it wasn't, there's an explanation, there's two, three reasons given for that, but anyway. So I just thought I'd mention that hadith, because somebody might see a hadith and say, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would do that whilst he was fasting, why would he do that? Number three, gathering saliva in a mouth and then swallowing it, you know, to feel good, that's also dislike. It doesn't invalidate your fast. Number four, any action, this is very important, any action that would weaken a person. Too much work, too much lifting of boxes, of heavy stuff. If you need to do it, that's fine, you have to do it. If you're a builder, if you're a constructor, if you're too much sports, don't have a football match in the afternoon of Ramadan. Have it night time. Go, you know, night time, play sports night. Indoor football, you can play indoor, you have lights there. If you want to, that in Ramadan you should be. You have to avoid football as well in Ramadan. Just do a bit of walking and once you do some dhikr. Ramadan, everything's avoided. You avoid everything, as I was saying. It's total month of devotion and dedication. So, any action or any form of action, any act that you think would weaken you, such as giving of blood, having a blood test. A lot of people ask this, does blood test break your fast? Does it invalidate your fast? The principle, remember this principle, brothers and sisters. Al-fitru mimma, what is it? Dakhala, go on, carry on. Walaysa mimma kharaj. Al-fitru mimma dakhala walaysa mimma kharaj. Fasting becomes invalidated with something entering your body, not something exiting your body. Blood test is a removal of blood, giving blood, donating blood. It's all disliked. If you fear that it's going to weaken you. Cupping. There's a hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, "Aftar al-hajim wal-mahjum." What does it say? "Aftar al-hajim wal-mahjum." The one who gets cupped and the one doing the cupping, both have broken their fast. Now, if you are just a person who doesn't follow any, just take anything, Sahih Bukhari hadith, you know, understand yourself, then you will say, what's happening here? You know? Because just on the same page of Sahih Bukhari, there's another hadith, after ihtajam al-Nabiyu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa huwa sa'im, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had cupping done on him while he was fasting. On the same page, just literally two hadiths. Oh, now what do? You say, which one's easy? Which one's easy? Both in Sahih of Imam al-Bukhari. You don't have a madhab to follow, what are you going to do? One day work, act on that, and the next day act on the other one, what are you going to do? But if you're, you know, mashallah, following a madhab, and you know, you don't think you're too big for your boots, and you don't think, you know, you follow a particular school of thought, and a particular legacy and understanding that has discussed all of this over thousands of years, through thousands of scholars, in detail, in research, you know, they must have spent like maybe days looking at this issue, looking at both types of hadith, studying, analyzing, critically analyzing every single reporter, everything from all angles. And then whatever conclusion they came to, some scholars came to the conclusion according to their, you know, research and according to their deep investigation, that cupping invalidates your fast. And some, like the Hanafis, it does not, based on this principle. So what's the principle? Anything you think that weaken you, it is disliked, but it does not, come on, it does not invalidate your fast. So next time you pick up Sahih al-Bukhari and you see the hadith, cupping, the one cupped and the one doing the cupping, both have broken their fast. And we heard in the fiqh of, and it's in, you know, all the Hanafi books, that it doesn't invalidate your fast. Sahih Hanafi madhab against the hadith, it's not as simple as that. There's a lot of rigorous detail, you know, thousands of scholars over thousands of years have looked at this. You thought that they didn't know this hadith of Sahih Bukhari, they all went to sleep, they didn't see this hadith. Come on. They have an explanation. They follow that hadith, but they have a very detailed explanation, interpretation of this hadith. There's many interpretations. I don't want to go into, there's no time. But anyway, so anything that will weaken you, it's disliked.